You're listening to the Stallion Nation Podcast, your number one source for Salt Lake Stallions news, stats, and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. Join us, Champ, E-Rock, and P-Rex, as we move full steed ahead during the AAF season. Welcome to Stallion Nation, Stallions fans. I am your host, Champ. And alongside me in the booth today is E-Rock and P-Rex. Guys, welcome to the second episode of Stallion Nation.
Yeah, yeah.
We're excited. We're ready to have some fun. But before we get the fun going, we need to tell you that we are a sponsored podcast. This podcast is brought to you by a company called Streamlet. It's a streaming service of independent films. If you can't find the perspectives you're looking for in Hollywood, you can find them on Streamlet, the only gamified streaming platform dedicated entirely to brand new indie films. See the freshest work being made by Utah filmmakers and support their voices through your subscription. Visit Streamlet.com, and there's a nice little bonus here. Use the code STALLIONS for half off a monthly or yearly subscription.
Wow.
How dope is that?
That's pretty big.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So thank you, Streamlet, for providing this podcast to the Stallion Nation fans across the great state of Utah. And I know there's some Stallions fans outside of the U.S. I mean, I think I saw on Twitter that some guy in Ireland is rooting for the Stallions.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah.
He's playing his bagpipes over there.
That's right. I mean, that is so cool. It's a sport that is sweeping not just the nation but the world. And I think it's something that people are getting excited about. Now, with this show, we do have an opportunity with a sponsor to give away some things as well. So go follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're at SL Stallions Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. You can also follow us on Twitter at SL Stallions Pod. But we're going to be giving away some tickets. Who wants to go to a Stallions home game this season?
Right here.
That guy. And we're going to be there this week on Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium, front row, thanks to the P-Rex over here getting the six-pack. That a boy.
Really, no, not that kind of six-pack, P-Rex.
Not that kind of six-pack. It's the other kind where we get six tickets and we're sitting front row. So look for a sign. We're going to be up there, and we're going to be rooting hard for
if
that
if it's obnoxious
team.
And you see a lot of wild people in the front row, that's
us.
Probably us.
That's right.
Those are your hosts.
It's E-Rock and P-Rex.
Yours truly.
Now, E-Rock, he wasn't on the show last episode, our first pilot, but E-Rock, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm kind of big. Okay. In the podcast industry.
I'm just big.
He's just gracing us with his presence today. We're very lucky, very fortunate.
Yeah. E-Rock is very knowledgeable when it comes to sports, and we all are gaining a knowledge together about the AAF, and more specifically, our Salt Lake Stallions, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that is what this podcast is dedicated to, is the Stallion Nation. So let's jump right into the content we have today. We have a special guest that's coming to the show. And, you know, maybe we should just leave it a secret.
Don't
until
spoil
we get
it,
there.
Man. Don't yeah, spoil it.
You have to listen through the episode to get to it, all right? But you're going to want to sit tight because it is big.
I'm pretty sure when we advertise this episode, we're going to spoil it.
Oh, we're going to spoil it hard. But you are going to love what you are about to hear in this show. But before we get to the special guest, we got to talk about what the Stallions have done in the last week. Okay, so we played Birmingham. We played the Birmingham Iron, and it was kind of a letdown. P-Rex, walk us through what happened in that game.
You know, the Stallions actually played really well. I've been talking with you, Champ, and I've said this before. I think the Stallions are a defensively strong team.
Well, they deserve the win based on the defense that had in that game.
No, it was
game.
Incredible. The special teams is what lost us the game.
Unfortunately, that is accurate.
Yeah.
Now, Dennis Erickson, he said, I thought we played really good defensively. We deserved that win on defense. And, I mean, with the score being 12-9, it came down to one thing, and it was points on the board, and it was points that should have been made by our kicker. Now, we are Salt Lake Stallions fans, and we back our kicker up. We back our team up. But there obviously is something that happened in that game that caused him to be off. And so I hope that when we move into Game 3, which we're going to preview at the end of this podcast, is they make those adjustments. They figure out what was the alignment, what was the issue. And we'll be talking more about our kicker in just a little bit.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of it can't weigh on the kicker's shoulders necessarily because that muffed punt, that was the turning point in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the returner, it just went right through his hands. Defender got a hand on it, went into the end zone.
Yep, and that's their only score. So if you think about that, if that muffed punt didn't happen, we would have won that game anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is really impressive, you know. What would that have been, like 9-6?
It would have been.
Something like that. I mean, defensive.
We didn't need to make the field goal. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing. Now, the Stallions play their home opener this Saturday. We're getting excited. We're ready to ice the rice, as the hashtag is out on social media. Right?
Why is it that ice?
Well,
why is it that hashtag?
We are the most northern AAF team.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about
it. We're above the 35th parallel, and it's cold here.
Because we consider ourselves in the south.
it's chilly, you know. And, I mean, we have the Arizona Hotshots entering Salt Lake. Maybe the elevation, the cold, I think it's going to play a factor in that game.
But have you seen the forecast? Like, is it going to be cold?
It's going to be partly cloudy with no snow, but it's going to be below 32 degrees. So it's cold.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's cold.
You know, I heard that
bring
the fans were actually going to be the biggest factor.
Oh,
especially
absolutely.
The ones on, like, the first row
or
so.
Yeah, on the front row.
The
whiteness of them.
With that obnoxious sign and their, you know, outlandish behavior.
I think that might be the deciding
factor. Well, as of right now, it's just Saturday is sunny and 34.
Well,
so let's hope that the weather app holds true.
Hopefully it will be a little bit warmer. But, I mean, to recap the game, we should have won that game against the Iron. The defense was stellar. The offense was good. We didn't pass as much. It was very run-heavy. Brandon Oliver and Boyganon.
We still got to learn how to pronounce his name.
Hopefully we can get him on
the show. I heard
the
announcer say it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds... You know, like what it should be said.
I think there's an A in it, so it's like Boyagnon. I think that might be how you say it.
It was a lot more fluid. Like, I think those G's were silent.
Boyagnon.
No.
Oh, sorry.
He's not a Dothraki.
Anyway, he is the team's leading rusher currently. And with Brandon Oliver doing what he did, that is a surprise. But, I mean, you look at what Boyganon did, and I mean the fact that we have to say his name so many times, he's good though. We have a great running game, but we have to establish the pass from that run. That allows us to run more play actions. It allows us to play good football
and actually go up and down the field and score too.
Right, and we haven't been able to do that. In game one against the Hotshots, we did score touchdowns, but I believe they were both ran in. No, Leslie caught the other one, right? So I mean, we need to figure out how to get the ball in the end zone in the air. We can do it on the run. We've done it. But we have to score in the air. And we have to move the ball using runs and passes. That's just how football is played.
Right.
So,
well, there's a lot of factors you got to consider. I mean, our starting QB was injured.
Right.
Right?
Josh Woodrum was out.
And Austin Allen, who is technically the third string QB, he was starting. And you could tell that they did not want to have
him passing right away.
Well, they didn't want to have that potential of turnovers. So they were relying heavily on the running game. And the running game did perform. It's just you need that element of passing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope, and we're going to preview the game three coming up at the end of the podcast, but I can see a first win for the Stallions. And we'll talk to our special guest about his thoughts.
We'll get some insider.
Like we said at the beginning of this podcast in the intro, this is your place for
exclusive
Stallions news, right?
Almost like he knows the team really well, you know?
We will see. Only time will tell. So let's jump to our next point that we wanted to talk about. What moves need to be made then to make this team better than we are? Because we are now 0-2. A lot of the power rankings that you see on social media, Bleacher Report, CBS, puts us around 5 or 6. Now, it's interesting. Some actually put us at 4 still. I believe that we are good, and we just have had some bad luck when it comes to the games that we've played. We lost our quarterback game one, and we just couldn't kick a field goal in game two. So And it wasn't just the kicker. But what we're saying is we needed those field goals to win the game.
You know, and I think there's a lot of positives you can draw, even though we're 0-2.
Right.
Like that last game, that defense was stellar.
Oh, absolutely.
They absolutely shut them down. And it was just a misplay on the punt that really kind of sealed the game.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of positives you can draw from it. They might be 0-2, but it's not like an 0-2 and you're destined to go, you know.
0-1 forever, right.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that, and that's why I think we see the Stallions still in the top of the power rankings. They're not number 8. They're not ranked the lowest team because we play good football. And so I expect good things in week 3. And only time will tell. We'll get to watch that game.
You know what's shocking? Somehow the Raiders are number 9.
Oh, what the? Welcome to...
Wait, is this real life?
No.
I was like, what?
Well, it makes sense. If we do what that guy said on that meme, the XFL and the AAF, they fight to get into a spot in the NFL, right? But anyway, my question was, what pieces need to be added or looked at to make this team better? Now, before you answer that question, so you can think about it for a second, we have added 2 pieces to the Stallions roster as of recent. We did get sign Brian Timms. He's a wide receiver. He had been around the NFL for a little bit. He was on the San Francisco 49ers as an undrafted free agent in 2012, and then he played little stints for the Dolphins, the Browns, the Patriots, and the Colts. Now, when he was on the Patriots, he received passes from Tom Brady, who is arguably the GOAT. The greatest of all time. Okay, anyway.
Thanks for that little disclaimer there, Jim.
We're right near high.
Oh, my gosh.
Just hanging out to dry.
I don't think we would have got through that.
I would have been there the whole freaking time, just sitting there. But anyway, he did get a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots that year that they beat the Seahawks. So that's pretty good. But P-Rex, you mentioned it earlier, and I'm intrigued to hear your thoughts. Do we need a wide receiver? What is the wide receiver the position to be worried about?
I don't think it is, Champ. You can see from the games that I think we definitely have some ability at wide receiver. The problems that I was seeing in that game, too, with Austin Allen, is that a lot of those passes were being overthrown. They weren't on point. They weren't where they needed to be.
No, yeah.
You know, there was a couple for the end zone. There was a really big one for the end zone, 30-plus yards, overthrown, you know?
Yep.
And that you can't do that in this league.
At the same time, I would also argue that our leading receivers are tight end.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And I think the number 3 leading receiver is also a tight end.
Yes.
So clearly we do need some additional help at the wide receiver spot, but definitely having – you know, some more accurate throws would help.
That's a great point, E-Rock. And I have seen, as I've watched the last 2 games of the Stallions where they're playing football, when they run those routes, I feel like the routes can be crisper. They can be a little more tight. The cuts need to be a little bit sharper, right? And I think more practice is going to put this team in a better position. I just think there's a lack of practice as a team. And that's critical. I mean, you look at the NFL, you're running practice, you know, mini camps all the way through the off season, and then you get into training camp.
And you've been with each other for years,
right,
potentially.
Right. So that chemistry's there. And so I think that is a big part, not just for the Stallions, but I think for all AAF teams.
The entire league.
Right? It's an exploratory league. It's just starting. They haven't had as much time. So I think with time, this could really help all the teams succeed more so and get a higher level of play.
Right. So, I mean, we've kind of talked about the offense is definitely the point that we need to focus on a lot. And I think it goes without saying that there needs to be less mistakes on special teams.
Right.
Not catching a punt, for example, there really isn't any excuse for that. Just like a wide receiver doesn't really have an excuse for dropping a pass.
Right.
You know, it's like you're playing at a professional level. They expect you to perform at a professional level. And I don't think the defense needs to show much improvement. They're already performing at one of the highest levels, I think, amongst the 8 teams in the league right now.
So, P-Rex, defensively, where do you think is one piece that if you could improve, you would try to get somebody or focus a little bit more?
That's a good question.
I'm going to have to say maybe maybe the linebackers.
That's,
you know,
where I was thinking, too.
Because I honestly saw the coverage was amazing. Like, it was some of the best coverage I've seen.
Our,
like,
secondary is pretty stellar.
It was stellar. And then the pass rush was also amazing. Like, Carter Schultz.
he is a boss. Wouldn't it be great if we could get him on the show sometime?
Oh, man. That would be
so
cool.
That would be so dope.
Yeah.
Maybe in the near future.
We'll see.
But anyway, I mean, long story short, I think our defense is one of the best in the league. I would dare say
the best
defense in the league. And
we might be biased.
Right. We could be biased.
We could be.
We're absolutely biased.
We are Salt Lake Stallions fans.
Show me a defense that's performed
that's
better. I haven't seen it.
Whether you win by a second or a mile, a win's a win. I don't know why Vin
you
Diesel
butchered that one.
Dom, I screwed up real bad, man.
Real fast.
Oh, classic. Okay, well, how about we jump into our next segment now? It is a new segment that we've entered into with our sponsor, and it is the Streamlit Stallion of the Week. So here we go. Streamlit Stallion of the Week.
It's time for the Streamlit Stallion of the Week.
Streamlit Stallion of the Week. Yeah, we should add a new sound.
Look at that, guys. Our own sound effects.
That's right.
Who needs a soundboard?
Yeah, who needs a soundboard when you got sound champ?
We're real technical here over at Stallion Nation.
That's right.
So, the Streamlit Stallion of the Week, just to give you a little preview, it is the player that needs to step up their game for this upcoming week.
That's right, that's right.
Now, the player that we have selected for this upcoming week is none other than Taylor Bertolet.
Yes.
Now, Taylor Bertolet
is our kicker.
Is our kicker.
And kicking's not an easy job.
It isn't.
You have to have a particular set of skills. Skills that you acquire over a long period of time. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. Thanks. Thanks.
That was great.
Wait, what's his name?
Liam Neeson,
dude. That's all right.
Yeah. All right, so a little bit about Taylor Bertolet. All right.
Let's hear it.
He previously played for the Los Angeles Rams in 2016, the Denver Broncos in 2018.
Gave him a shot.
For about a month.
Yeah.
And the New York Jets also for about a month in 2018. And now he is with the Stallions. He had a crucial role in our game.
Game
last
two,
week.
Yeah. It's true.
He only made one of four field goals. Those field goals were crucial for the win. Now, I don't want to put it all on his shoulders, but he does have to perform better.
Right.
As a kicker, you have to have a better percentage. And if he just would have had one, we would have been in a tie. One more. But a lot of that is on the other special teams as well.
Sure.
So he is the one that needs to perform this upcoming
game. Yeah. To get 25% of your kicks in, that's pretty rough. I think P-Rex. Now, P-Rex, we told you in the first episode, P-Rex is a Packers fan.
Uh-huh.
Earlier this season in the NFL, you saw your kicker, Matt Crosby, miss 5 field goals and extra points.
Yeah.
That was a rough game. After that, I think most Packers fans were calling for his head.
No, they weren't. Crosby has been one of our most successful kickers in history.
He's been there for like a decade, is what it feels like.
He can make long ones, and he's consistent. He had one bad game, and I guess you could say that about our kicker, right? But the thing is, we were able to see Mason Crosby through the years, how successful he was.
Right.
And it's not uncommon to see a great player fail on occasion.
Sure.
You know? It happens. It happens to the best of the best. That might be the case, but we haven't seen a lot of him. So
right.
We don't have the same privilege in that same circumstance.
That's a great point. And Bertolet, when he comes into this game, because I have not heard any reports or any news that we've switched kickers, right? So we have him in the game. Honestly, I'm 100% sure that he watched film. He watched how he planted. He watched how he backed up. He watched how the snapper snapped it, how the other guy held it. I know that he has gone through all the motions 100 different times this week to try and figure that out. Because as a team player, to succeed for your team, you have to do that, right?
Right. There's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weight on the kicker's shoulders.
Yeah.
So one thing I will say, though, he did kick, was it a 53-yard field goal?
Yes.
So he's got a leg, which is really good. But at the same time, the offense does have to do better. You can't constantly be giving him 50-yard field goals, because then weren't most of those field goals like 50 yards or like right around that?
I think three of them were three plus. So I guess he missed three, or three sure. of them were 50 yards.
There
plus.
You go.
Yeah, yeah. And I think offensively, one, you got to try to score. Obviously, you got to get closer, and you can't constantly be letting your kicker kick these 50-plus yarder ones, because even in the NFL, you're going to get guys that you can make maybe two out of three.
You're right.
Or something like that, but 50-plus yards, that's difficult.
E-Rock, you always come with the reason,
you've
man.
Got,
that's why
you got some wisdom.
You
got
to look at the bright side, take the positives.
That's why E-Rock is on this show, because P-Rex and I are just looking at the critical. But what E-Rock does is bring us a different mind and a different perspective.
He grounds us.
That's right.
Yep. He brings us
and
back
it's true.
Just the kicker.
If the offense is doing what they're supposed to be doing, the special teams, the kicker doesn't have to worry about making a 50-plus yard field goal three times in a
Heck,
game.
Give him a 40-yard field goal,
right?
I'm sure he does better.
Yeah,
right.
It's the unfortunate circumstance, but that's just the way the game is.
Right.
The kicker has to live with that responsibility.
Right.
Everyone fails as a team and succeeds as a team.
Right.
Right?
It is you a team game. You are absolutely 100% correct.
And I guess to his credit, E-Rock, me and Sam commented, one of his kicks was off the bar.
Yeah.
One, so me close. And Champ, sorry.
Alias. It's all right.
yeah, me and Champ commented that one of his kicks was off the bar. It was very close. And there was a weird pattern.
Man.
It looked like it was going in.
Yeah,
and
then just swung hard.
Swung
left.
Hard, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was interesting.
But anyway.
He is Streamlit's player of, or Streamlit's stallion of the week, who needs to do what he does to help the team succeed.
Guys,
yes.
He's going to have a good week.
He's going to have
a great
week.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah,
I'm feeling
yeah.
it, man.
Feeling it in my
bones. We're going to score like 50 points, and it's going to be like 40 of those points are field goals.
He'll need like a 50-yarder to win the game. He'll be like, guys, I got this.
That's right.
Put a blindfold on like they do in dodgeball.
That's right. Okay, well, that was our segment brought to you by our sponsor, but now we are going to jump into our most exciting part of this episode. We have a special guest. And as we give him a call right now, you are going to hear Carter Schult.
Woo!
We told you, Stallion Nation, that we were going to bring you the exclusive content. And we have the defensive lineman that has been rocking the Salt Lake Stallions defense. The man, the myth, the legend, Carter Schult, who is nicknamed Sauce, hometown Tripoli, Iowa, College University of Northern Iowa. Now, awards he had in college were the 2016 Buck Buchanan Award and winner of the 2016 FCS Defensive Player of the Year, 6'3", 265 pounds. Carter, welcome to the Stallion Nation podcast, man.
Hey, thank you, guys. It's an honor to be on here, and I'm excited to do this.
Dude, we are excited as well. So, to get things off, first of all, how did you get your nickname, Sauce?
I think just started with my Instagram a long time ago. I called myself Carter Sauce.
Carter Saucy.
Yeah, and then, you know, as I was going through college, you know, training for pro day and stuff, people just started calling me Sauce, and that's just kind of how it became. And honestly, I didn't even plan it that way, but, and honestly, I might not even live up to that nickname, but that's what people will call me.
Hey, that's pretty good. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself? I know I kind of introduced you in the way that most people want to be introduced, kind of those accolades, which, by the way, that's awesome. Defensive Player of the Year, Buck Buchanan Award, that's dope. But tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who is Carter Schult?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. I was born and raised in Iowa, so I'm a Midwest guy. Very, very family-oriented. I grew up about 20 minutes away from the college that I went to, and it was a dream come true. I'm really not a very complicated guy. I'm very simple. Come from a very hardworking background. Love my family. I'm about to get married soon as well.
Dude, congrats.
Oh, yeah.
When's the date? Well, don't tell everybody, but.
No, yeah. It's coming up pretty soon. It's in April, I'll say that.
Very nice, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, Carter, I heard you're from a small town. I just wanted to say to you that me and Champ are also from very small towns in Montana, so we know that hometown vibe, and we are just so psyched to have you on this team.
Very nice, very nice. I always gotta respect it. Honestly, I wouldn't change a thing. I loved growing up in a small town.
Oh, absolutely.
It's awesome.
Well, okay, so I got another question for you. I did see that tweet from Dr. Bill from UNI Family Services. He wanted us to ask you why you haven't celebrated with a Rock the Baby in homage to your college major, which was Family Services. Tell us a little bit more about that, and will you do that dance if you get a sack on the Hot Shots quarterback?
Absolutely. Dr. Bill, who's my professor and advisor. I actually double majored in college, so that was one of my majors. He was a great guy, and obviously I still keep in contact with him a little bit. Really, the reason why I haven't done it yet is because I was trying to incorporate some sort of stallion, some type of horse-type celebration the first time.
Nice.
You know, I don't know if I did it that well, but in Birmingham, I was trying to do the ride the horse.
That's right.
I might have been too excited. I don't know if it looked that good, but...
Dude, I was watching the game. It looked great.
When I get a sack Saturday, not if, when.
That's right.
There you go, when.
I will do the rock the baby.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm talking about. All right, P-Rex has got a couple other questions for you.
All right, Carter. So we were looking up on you, researching a little bit, and we noticed you spent some time in the NFL. We just want to know your experience coming from the NFL to the AAF. Can you walk us through this and the listeners and how you ended up becoming the Stallions' top defensive prospect to return to the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you guys kind of already stated, I had a very good college career. It brought a lot of attention to me, especially my last 2 years in college, and that's how I got the opportunity in the first place. I was on the verge of being drafted in the 7th round, but I ended up going undrafted, got picked up by Cleveland, went through OTAs and training camp my rookie year with the Browns. I had a really good preseason, but ended up getting released at the end of training camp.
Which was a mistake by them.
It was a mistake.
They did go 0-16 after they got.
Yeah, exactly, Carter. This is your chance.
So, and then I bounced around a little bit. I was trying, getting workouts with NFL teams here and there, trying to get back on the roster, but I ended up missing out the entire season that year. And eventually got another opportunity in the spring to go to a league called the Spring League that is a developmental league that helps players get in front of scouts again. I did really well there. Got opportunities with the Vikings and the Panthers in minicamp. Did really well at the Vikings camp, but their defensive line is really stacked. Went to Carolina, did the same thing, and I got signed. So I was with them through OTAs and training camp, and again, just the way it worked out, they ended up getting released. And did the same thing as the year before, really, getting workouts here and there, trying to make it back on the team. And when that wasn't happening, that is when I had been hearing about the AAF for a while, and it was very, very intriguing to me. And originally, actually, my rights were held in Atlanta because of me being with Carolina last. But when me and my agent reached out to all the teams in the AAF, Atlanta never really responded, so we had to go through a releasing process, so I became a free agent, and that's when Randy in Salt Lake contacted me and was really, really interested in me, and so that's right around Christmas time I signed the contract, and then I showed up to training camp about a week later, and here we are now.
That is crazy, because that means you only had a month and a little bit to practice with this team. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's insane.
That's incredible.
Matt, any of the guys or the coaches, was January 3rd when we got to San Antonio for camp.
We were just talking about this earlier in the podcast, and when you go listen to this, you're going to hear it. But we were just talking about what's so hard about the AAF and the players that are inside of it, you haven't had much time to practice. And when you think about the NFL, it's running full year round. And so the fact that you're still playing the ball and the type of effort that you're putting forth on that football field, Carter, is insane. Now, P-Rex, he's got another question for you.
Yeah, so thank you for sharing that. That was awesome. I had no idea that you you had such little time with this team, and I'm sure they're stoked that they got you on this team because I don't know if you're aware, but you're in the top 10 of the Bleacher Report for top prospects for going back into the NFL. Were you aware of that, Carter?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the article.
Do you Google yourself a lot?
I used to, you know. I'm just, as a rookie, the thing, you know, that you're very excited about that stuff and you read into it a lot, but it ended up being a hindrance to me rookie year because I would read that and focus on that more than the actual play in the field. I obviously see it now. My family is very, very supportive of me, so if anything with my name comes out on it, they let me know right away. But obviously, I saw the article, and it is great, but it doesn't really shift my focus from what I need to do here, and that's obviously my number one focus right now.
Dude, I love that.
That is awesome. Yeah. And we are proud to call you a Salt Lake Stallion, man. And actually, I saw a report online yesterday that was posted by Bills Wire by Justin DeLauro. And he says, of players in the AAF, Carter Schultz is one of the top players that the Bills could look at adding. What do you think about that? Would you want to play for the Bills?
Yeah, I'm not in a position to be picky at all. but of course, I'd love to play for anybody who'd give me an opportunity. And I think that's what makes this so special for me in Salt Lake. You know, it's been 2 or 3 years since I was in college where I felt really part of the team, really, really valued because, you know, becoming an undrafted free agent, especially with Cleveland and Carolina, you're kind of at the bottom end of the roster, you know, you don't get treated like the guy who's making $20 million a year and whatnot. So, you know, being here has been special for me because, you know, it feels like I'm part of a team, and it's been a little bit since I've been a part of that.
That's really awesome. Okay, P-Rex has one more question, then we're going to jump over to E-Rock.
All right, Carter, real quick. So you heard the last podcast, and one of the thing that I think all the fans of this league and the listeners of our show are curious about is we want to know what level this is, the AAF, compared to college and the NFL. And you're the perfect person to kind of give us that insight. With your playing, what do you think this measures up to?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's maybe a half step below the NFL because, you know, to be honest, a lot of the players, honestly, most of these players in this league are, you know, they've played in the NFL, you know, 1 to 5 years or so, or they just missed out on making the roster. You know, there's not that many guys who haven't had a shot in the NFL. I mean, on our defense alone, there's 24 defensive guys on the roster, and there's 20 of us that have either been in an NFL camp or spent time on practice squads and whatnot. And so I think that echoes throughout the league because, you know, there's so many great college players that get shots in the NFL, but there's only 1% that really get to be on the roster, and the other guys don't. You know, the guys that just barely don't make it don't have another route. You know, they can go to the CFL, but that's not necessarily a great option. You know, there's not that many leagues, and I think that's why the AAF is perfect. And I think that's why the competition in this league is very high. I mean, I'm sure you guys have watched the first 2 weeks. I mean,
oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it's really good. And I think that it's very, very high competition level. Obviously, the NFL has the best football players, best athletes in the world, but I think we're right on their coattails. I mean, it's really exciting.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to pass you on to E-Rock for a couple more questions, and then we'll let you go to sleep because I know we're recording late. You probably got practice in the morning, but here's E-Rock with a question.
Okay, Carter, so this one's just pure curiosity. With you being born and raised in Iowa Midwest, who do you cheer for just as a, you know, from childhood going up? Who's your NFL team?
Well, for the longest time, And this is because of my dad. I was a big Packers fan.
Woo! Oh, so, Carter, you just made my day.
P-Rex is a Packers fan as well, diehard.
Packers, but really Brett Favre. I love watching Brett
Favre. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So.
Gunslinger.
So default, yeah. Brett Favre.
That's awesome. That is great. All right, here's E-Rock's next question.
Well, I was just kind of curious. I'm from Kansas City, so naturally I'm a diehard Chiefs fan, so I was kind of hopeful with that. But next question. So a lot of people in the NFL, are talking about how the game is really becoming a more offensive game, just because the scoring and just everything is going crazy with that. But when you watch the Stallions play, you guys are solid at defense. You guys are just dominating. So what do you say to all those people that say that football in general is going more offensive than it is defensive?
I would have to agree a little bit. I mean, obviously, especially the NFL, it's going to be very offensive. I mean, the defense is pretty handicapped. What I like about the AAF is that they've kind of backtracked in a way that, they let the defense play. You don't get flagged for touching the quarterback or, something like that.
Also valid.
I think that I think in general football is moving towards more offensively because that's what a lot of fans like to see. But I think there's also a lot of really good defense. I mean, it shows not only in this league, there's also, the Super Bowl was very defensive. I mean, as many rules
absolutely
as you want to make
that was.
For the offense, there's always going to be great defense. No matter how they want to change the game.
That's a great point. Kate, E-Rock has another question for you, and this one is for our Stallion fans. I mean, you are part of a community that has been waiting for a professional football team its whole life, and now we have it. So here's our question to you. Being a member of the team, here's what E-Rock has for you.
Okay, so last question. So just kind of curious about, you guys have only been together as a team for, a month and some change. But we're curious about, what's the team chemistry like? What's it like working with the coaching staff? We're just kind of curious to know, what's it like as a team to be playing on the Stallions here in Salt Lake?
Honestly, I like our team chemistry. It's really good. I mean, we're all working as one. I like the coaches. The coaching staff is great. Coach Erickson is a great coach. I like his demeanor and his message to the team. Our defensive staff is great too. I can't say anything really bad about them. Teammate wise, we get along really well. Obviously, the games haven't gone our way yet, but I know they're going to.
Starting Saturday,
we're going to be dangerous. And honestly, I like the vibe that the city gives right now. I mean,
yeah,
I'm super excited to be a part of all the teams. In the AAF, honestly, this is one of them that I really wanted to be a part of because of what you said. They've never had a professional football team, and I want to be, I want to make history, and I want fans who are craving this, and they're going to show up and support us. And, that's awesome to be a part of, and I think on Saturday it's going to be a crazy experience, but I'm very excited for it.
That is awesome, and we are stoked as fans. So just to send you off, a couple more questions. What are we going to do to get the W on Saturday?
Well, I think the first thing is just the attitude we played with. The first game, we stuck with them for three quarters and whatnot, but the score and everything didn't really tell the real story. We didn't play our game, defensively especially. Obviously it showed in Birmingham. We can be a much better defense than what we were in Arizona. I think really the demeanor of just playing with a chip on our shoulder, we kind of got pushed around a little bit, and that's just not us. And we got some things in that we know is going to work. Me personally kind of took it as a little bit of disrespect in the way that, the way that we played. And so I'm looking for some revenge. And I think to get Josh back on offense is big for us. Hopefully, he can stay healthy the whole game. And I think that'll show, despite our record, we're one of the best teams in the league.
Dude, Carter, so we're all just smiling behind our microphones because you just said that Josh Woodrum is healthy and going to be starting this
The whole room just lit up. Because we did not have the official word.
I didn't know if that was breaking news, but I'm pretty sure, you know, he's been taking first team reps this whole week. I guess I don't know the official word, but that's how I've been seeing it.
Dude,
I practiced,
you just made Stallion Nation Podcast the most exclusive podcast in Salt Lake. Well done. Okay, so last question, and we'll let you go. Is it going to be Sac Lake City this Saturday?
Hey, that's the plan. That's always the plan.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
All right.
It's make the quarterback's life miserable, and I enjoy doing it.
That's right.
Well, you've been doing it so far. You've been killing it so far, and you've made your presence known, and you are making history, Carter. And we are so happy to have you on this team.
That's right. And thank you for joining us on the show. Make sure you go subscribe to the podcast, share it with your family and friends. And you can follow us on iTunes and in the CastBox app as well. So, Carter, thanks so much for joining us, man. This has been awesome. We'll see you at the game on Saturday, front row. You're going to see a couple hooligans with a sign with your name on it.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
Okay.
I'll see you Saturday.
Have a good one, man. That was Carter freaking Schultz, all right? Woo! Defensive lineman for the Salt Lake Stallions. And you heard it here, folks. Stallion Nation is the place for your news, your stats, and your exclusive content. It's awesome. All right. So we got a couple more things we need to do, right?
Yeah.
So let's get into those things. But, I mean, how can we – after that, it's just so giddy.
Yeah, you – I.
What are we going to do next? Should we just end the show?
I wish we could have recorded the reaction when he said – he's like, yeah, Josh is coming back.
Wait, what?
Champ over here acting like it's like Christmas morning and he's seeing a giant present.
We knew he was taking some snaps, but we thought they were just like –
yeah.
You know, going to take it easy.
We've only heard reports. I've seen a couple of things on social media from the team's broadcaster or writer that he has been warming up. And according to Carter, that could be the possibility. He has to stay healthy, though. He has to keep moving forward. I think it's going to be a game day decision. That's how I'm feeling. If Carter doesn't know it for sure, but if he's taking first team reps,
we might have
our starting quarterback finally back in the game for week 3, our home opener, making history.
With a W.
Man, but Carter Schultz, make sure you go follow him on social media. His Twitter handle is @CarterSchultz, and Instagram handle is CarterSaucy, which we now know why his nickname was Sauce. Anyway, so let's jump into our next little bit, and we're going to go through this fast. E-Rock, he has the Stallion stats through week 2. The reason this is important to look at is because when we preview game 3 coming up this weekend, we need to compare those stats to the hot shot stats and see where the disconnect is and what are going to be the key factors going into the week 3 game. And then we'll end the game, or we'll end the podcast with the preview of that game, and we'll close it out. So, E-Rock, give us a few stats. Tell us what the quarterbacks, the running backs, the defense has been doing.
All right.
And the wide receivers, I guess.
Do you want any other position there?
No, tight ends. You know what? Just give us some stats.
Okay, so just a couple of stats to throw out there that I find kind of interesting. When you start looking at the total yards per game for their offense, they're averaging just a little bit under 250, which I don't know what you guys think about that. I think there's definitely some room for improvement.
Definitely improvement, especially for 2 games, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, you do have – hopefully, a healthy QB
right. That's
playing again. And one thing that's really nice, you know, Carter was mentioning it a lot during his interview, is that they did not play the game that they thought they were going to play this last week.
And we thought the defense did an amazing job.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that. He thought that the defense performed better in week 1.
But what we don't see, P-Rex, is exactly what Carter and the entire Stallions team sees. And that's a coaching staff that says, hey, this is what you did wrong. This is what you need to do better so that we will succeed. And we don't see that. All we see is that, okay, Carter Schultz sacked the QB twice, put a bunch of pressures on him, caused, you know, forced passes and fumbles. The defense did great, but there are things that they could have done to make the game better for the Stallions. And so I appreciate that he's coming from that angle, because we've played football. We know that that is the case, right? You have to study it. You have to figure out what you did wrong and how you can better yourself each week.
Yeah, so something else. Guys, if you want a balanced football team, a balanced like passing attack, a balanced running attack, the Stallions are your team.
Yeah.
So offensively, they've like total, they've thrown 257 yards and they've rushed for 239 yards. I mean, that is balanced to a T, you know, which is obviously going to be something really good to look forward to going on.
Right.
Because it just makes you so much more dynamic offensively. It's harder to guard you because you can run the ball really effectively. You can pass the ball effectively.
You know what intrigues me most about the Stallions is their time of possession. They average quite a bit more than what teams they've played. So what that's boiling down to is turnovers. We have allowed turnovers, which has caused – and I feel like there's a lot of turnovers in the AAF. It's not just the Stallions.
Yeah, no.
And that could be a month and a half of working together, right?
I think part of it is usually with, like, you know, quarterbacks and their offensive lines and receivers, it takes time to build that chemistry. You know, you could have an entire offseason, you know, the entire summer, and you still don't know how is your offensive line going to react in certain situations. What is your wide receiving core going to do when you're rolling out? Do they know right. that you're rolling to the right and they need to, you know, kind of shift around? So I think once they have more time, a little bit more chemistry going, I think you'll see the offensive game start to pick it up a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point. Any other stats you want to share before we jump into Game 3 preview and end the podcast?
No.
Okay.
I do. Just some really fascinating offensive stats I wanted to share.
Yeah, and on the defensive side, I am looking at the stats, and in fumbles, they've had 4 fumbles in the last 2 weeks, and they've only recovered 1. So that's 3 lost to fumbles. The quarterback's been sacked 3 times, but they've had 0 interceptions as a defense. So we, even though our secondary is really good at swatting balls down, we gotta cause those turnovers, right?
Right. I remember that from game 2. You did see a lot of that there were a lot of opportunities for the secondary to actually intercept the ball, but they were just ended with swats.
Yeah.
Also crazy that Carter, as a defensive lineman, is tied for the lead with tackles on the team, which usually that typically goes to like your middle linebacker because they're just all over the field. But apparently Carter is all over the field.
Oh, absolutely.
He's quick.
We're going to watch him live this Saturday, and we're going to see that madman rushing the quarterback. And when he does sack him, he's going to do the rock-a-baby.
He is.
I'm excited for that.
But that's one of the things. It's like, that's one of the reasons that we reached out to him initially, right? We saw his level of play was just out of this world.
Outstanding.
And you need to see him if you haven't seen him play. You need to go watch the game either live with us or watch it on TV. Support this local team. Help him move forward, and Carter Schultz is worth watching.
Oh, absolutely. And just to give you, let's jump into the Game 3 coming up, since P-Rex has kind of already introduced that. So this weekend is Game 3, Arizona Hotshots, a revenge match coming up. I feel like they're our rivals just because they're kind of close to us.
The proximity.
That would be accurate.
And we lost our first game to them, so there's kind of a sting that's just kind of been lingering. So now we get to come ice the rice. Rice-Eccles Stadium, right in Salt Lake City, Utah. So be there Saturday, February 23rd, 3 p.m. Eastern. But we're in the Mountain Time Zone, so why would it be Eastern? It's 1 p.m. Come show up at 1 p.m. Come get a ticket. Speaking of tickets, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're going to be posting this podcast along with a chance to win tickets. And we'll tell you how to do that in that post. But anyway, the location, again, is Rice-Eccles Stadium, and it's going to be live-streamed on Bleacher Report Live. So, chance to be on the live stream. We are going to be front row. Again, look for our signs. We're going to make a couple. It's going to be a lot of fun. But let's just recap, or let's preview this game real quick. So, Week 3 starts with an interesting matchup. We are the first game on the docket in the AAF. The Hotshots are undefeated, and one of those wins is against the Stallions. And we have yet to win our game. So it's a 2-0 team, ranked pretty high in the power rankings that we've seen online, to the 0-2 Stallions, who rank about 5 or 6. And Arizona is only a slight favorite, which is interesting because they're pretty good. Now, last week, they struggled. They barely pulled out the win, right? They did the comeback, and they came back and won that game. But playing on the road has proven to not be as easy for them. which was last week's game. So, two things to look for, and we have that inside scoop now. Does Josh Woodrum start? If he starts, I think we have a lot better chance to win that game. And then the other thing is the Hotshots have had quite a few turnovers in the last couple games. And so if we can capitalize on their mistakes, I think that's how we win that game. And so what are the three key factors to success this weekend, guys? What's going to be the factor that's going to help the Stallions win?
So, like you said, the addition of Josh Woodrum is the prospect of gaining more passing yards, which was really lacking in the previous weeks. So a more stellar offensive movement, I think that's going to be key. And capitalizing on those turnovers, I really like that perspective. Because this is a league where you can capitalize off of turnovers. Yeah. And the majority of the time, the team that capitalizes on those turnovers is more likely going to be the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to figure out special teams. You got to make sure that we can make the field goals, not muff punts. And we got to make sure that the passing game gets solidified. So you got that quarterback. One final thing. What do you got to make sure you do when you go to the game? So I have this post. It's very important that fans know this for game day. When you come to Rice-Eccles Stadium, there is a clear bag policy. So if you bring a bag, you can't have a backpack. You can't have a fanny pack. It's true. You can't have a purse. You can't have a mesh bag. I know. I got to get rid of my fanny.
Got to leave yours at home.
You can't even have a grocery bag. It doesn't say that. You have to have a clear bag. There are some that you can purchase online. If you're looking for merchandise, they're going to be selling it at the game. But you can also go to AAF.com and shop Stallion stuff. I know there's some Etsy companies as well making shirts for cheaper.
Oh, nice.
So if you're looking for a cheaper option, you can do that. Parking and open gate times on each game day. The stadium gates open 1.5 hours prior to the first snap. So make sure that you get there on time. And there will be food vendors there, Chile Verde and Jurassic Street Tacos, along with some hot chocolate because we're going to be in the mountains and it's going to be cold. Makes sense.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, guys, we finally get to see our Salt Lake Stallions play their first home game. We are part of history.
Guys, I'm stoked.
Oh, I'm
this
stoked.
This is amazing. Yeah.
Man, so exciting, and we are going to be a part of it. You get to be a part of it. And why don't you be a part of our podcast? Give us a listen, subscribe, share, do all the things that you do on social media that make things go out in the world, right? That's what we want you to do for this podcast, right? Stallion Nation Podcast is here to stay for the 2019 AAF season, and hopefully this season, or hopefully the AAF just continues to grow so we can keep doing this, because this is a fun podcast. We love doing it. We love to get you the content that you're looking for. We love to bring guests on the show like Carter Schult. We already have in the works, due to our sponsorship with Streamlit, the opportunity to potentially bring in one of the starting tight ends, which would be awesome to get them on the show.
And we're going to give away tickets.
And we're giving away tickets. So go follow us at SL Stallions Podcast on Twitter or on Instagram and Facebook. Twitter is SL Stallions Pod. You only get 15 characters. That pisses
me
off.
You know what? It really sounds like you can only benefit from listening to this podcast.
I think you are correct, P-Rex. So
you see Carter Schult starting in the NFL for the Green Bay Packers in 2020, you're going to be glad that you tuned
listened
in.
You listened to the Stallion Podcast. And that is what we will end the show on. We were so happy to have Carter on the show. And now we will end with a shout-out, as we always do. I am the champ.
E-Rock.
P-Rex.
And we will catch you next week on Stallion Nation. Peace out.